Akum, Semen Kuf Yud Gimel Sevav. Now we're going to have a chance to discuss what is necessary to make something Bishul Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Bein Sheniach Ove Kochavim Vafach Yisrael, Bein Sheniach Yisrael Vafach Ove Kochavim Mutter, Beinu Asra She Tchilas Ove Gemara Ubiad Ove Kochavim. So it's usher when it's entirely cooked by a guy, but if a Jew has a chelak in it, then it's mutter. Now the Gemara says that hafach Yisrael is enough. So what does hafach mean? So the Beis Yosef writes that l'chora hafach is going on basar. It's not going on the gechalim, and that's what the Rambam writes. Now, he notes that when you're doing the hafach, it's important that the Jew not entirely lift up the basar, because then, or the guy not entirely, let's say the guy lifted up the basar. Now, let's say it's 10% cooked, and the guy lifted up the basar and then put it back, so then it would be aser, because only 10% was cooked by the Jew. So he says it means that you were mahapich the basar without being misalek it min ha or. That's the way the Rambam and the Beis Yosef would prefer, but he notes that the Tur understands that hipach is going on the gechalim. That being mechata the gechalim.
Why can't the Yisrael take it off?
Well, if the Yisrael took it off, then that would be fine, but the Gemara says either one is good enough. Bein shein yechov kochavim hafach Yisrael, or Now, so let's say it hasn't yet reached Machal Ben Rusai. If it was Hiniach Yisrael and Hafach Gai, and the guy in being Mahapich had lifted up entirely, let's say 10% after 10%, so then it turned out that the Jew cooked 10%, but it's inedible. So it would be Aser. And the Gemara says that's Mutter. So must be that the guy was Mahapich without picking it up entirely. That's what the Beis Yosef says. But again, the Torah says, which seems like a bigger chiddush, that even being mechata b'gechalim is enough. Now, we already saw that in the sugya of Pas Yisrael, in the sugya of Shalosh Malachos b'Pas, that was enough. The question is, what about Bishul? And that's what we talked about yesterday. Do we assume or equate that Bishul and Pas are the same? Anyhow, how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So let's look at Sivav. Kol shebishul Yisrael me'at bishulo, bein betchila, bein besof mutter. Lefikach im hiniach gai basar, o kedera gali ha'esh, v'hafach Yisrael bebasar, v'higis b'kedera. So if a guy puts it on the fire, but a Jew is mahapich bebasar, or higis b'kedera, he stirred the pot, o sheniach Yisrael, or the opposite, the Jew put it down, v'gamar ha'gai, hareze mutter. Haga, then the Rama writes, "Vafilu lo hayam is ba'ashal v'lo siu hagai." So that's a bombshell, meaning to say, even if the Jewish contribution would be insufficient to cook it. Now the problem with this is that it's against the Gemara, because the Gemara says, "Ilo hafach gai lo avi ba'ashal amai mutter bishalov dekochavim hu." If the Jewish contribution was insufficient to cause cooking, and it was only the guy's contribution that allowed it to become edible, so then it's aser. The Rambam says it's mutter. So before we answer that question, we have a similar thing, similar objection in Siv Zayin. So we'll read Siv Zayin, and then we'll see how to answer them. Siv Zayin says, "Ein shgiras hatanur mo'elas el bepas, aval b'shar hamizbashlim ein shgiras hatanur velo hadlakas ha'esh mala umoredes." So the Mechaber paskins, like the Rishonim that we mentioned yesterday, that even though by pas we have shalosh melachos and even shgiras hatanur, for example, turning on the oven is sufficient to give something a shame pas Yisrael, but for Bishul Yisrael, that's insufficient. What do you need for Bishul Yisrael? In other words, those things are just a hekar, the Rambam says, and hekar isn't enough for a bishul. Ella, and even if you say, I would add, what the Ran says, which is even if you say that Shosh Malachos Bepas is said about the Isser of Bishul, that's only, like the Ran says, it's only Pas. What I mean to say, remember the Ran held that the Gemara over there is talking about a case where there's no issue of Pas Akum because it was Pas Yisrael. Let's say it was the Jewish bread. The Jew owned the bakery. So then you only have an issue of Bishul Akum on the bread, and then the Ran said that for Pas, Shalosh Melachos is enough, because the Shalosh Melachos with respect to Pas are more significant than they are with respect to Bishul. One way or the other, though, that Ran is not Paskined by the Mechaber, one way or the other, Rambam Paskins and the Mechaber Paskins, that Shalosh Melachos are said Dafka by Pas. But what do you need for Bishul? Ela ha-hanacha Dafka. In other words, if a Jew lights the fire, but then the guy puts down the pot onto the fire, that would be Bishul Akum. Whereas if the Jew lit the oven, and the guy put the bread in the oven, it would be Pas Yisrael. Ella, lefikach, says the Mechaber, harod se levashel b'machvas b'taner shel guy, tzashiyitin Yisrael ha-machvas l'toch ha-taner. So the Jew basically has to put the food on the fire or in the oven, to a place where it could cook on its own. So that's the Mechaber's view. And the Rama adds, Hagah, v'yesh chalken v'svir l'hu, dad lakas ha'esh ochitui b'gechalim mehani l'inyan bishul, k'mol l'inyan pas. The Rama, as we'll see, adopts the kulas that we have for pas and applies them to bishul. And therefore, just like hadlakas ha'esh works for pas, so too it'll work for bishul. Ochitui b'gechalim, just like that works for pas, so to it will work for Bishul Akum. V'cheinogen, v'afilu chitui b'lo kavana mehani. Even chitui b'lo kavana works. We mentioned that yesterday when we talked about why the Rama was makel for domestic help. The Rama said, well, because somebody's going to be inevitably going to be mechat v'gechalim, even if they're not mechavim mechatos v'gechalim. So if the Jew is mechata b'gechalim, even b'li kavana, that gives it a shame, Bishul Yisrael. V'yesh omrim, da'afilu lo chita Yisrael, v'lo hishlach sham kisem. Even if there's not actual chitui and not hashlachas kisem. Hashlachas kisem means to literally just put in a toothpick, put in a splinter, in other words, add a little bit of fuel. Either that works because of hekar, like the Rambam says, or the Rashba, because it adds a little bit of heat, right? It's a negligible amount, but it's still a little bit. Every little piece of fuel does add something. But he didn't even do that. Rak shehagaya hidlika ha'esh me'esh shel Yisrael shari. It was esh me'esh. Even that, yesh omrim it's mutter. That is the pilot light heter. We'll talk about that more in detail in a minute, but in my stove here in Washington Heights, we have very old-fashioned stoves here in Washington Heights, so we use a pilot light for the stove and the oven, which means to say that you turn on the pilot light once, and then there's no lighter every time every time you turn on the stove, it's madlik esh me'esh from the pilot light. Our stove isn't even plugged into the wall. It's unbelievable. Pre-power. So that's Hidlak Esh Me'esh. Even that is enough. That, the Rama indicates, is a bigger Chiddush. In other words, this, he writes B'Shem Yesh Omrim, but that is, that's what the Rama writes. So here too, we have the same issue, which is that the Rama seems to be against the Gemara. The Rama here writes, Hashlachas kisem will work. The Rama writes Hashlachas kisem will work. The Gemara says chitoy b'kalam might work for a pas, and as we saw, the Rishonim say that's dafka for pas. The Gemara says that you need the Yisrael to have a significant role in bishul. I'll just read you the relevant Gemara. The Gemara says hechi dami ilema dechilo mahapech nami bashil mayavid. If the Yisrael does chitoy, but he's mahapech b'gachalim, let's say, But it would, or a bus, or whatever it is, but it would, it's inconsequential, so then it doesn't help. And the Rosh writes, Muchach b'kula shmait, and deba'ina she Yisrael mekarif abishol, v'teima al-mashin al-goedna. So Ramah is already bothered by the fact that the practice in Ashkenaz seems to have been to be lenient on this matter, even though it's against the Gemara. As Yoshua pointed out yesterday, most of the year we've seen Ashkenazi chumras and the Sfaradish akulas, but in these simanim, Pasakom, Bishalakom, are one of the places where the Ashkenazim are very makel, and ad kedei kach, that over here, they're so makel, it's against the Gemara. So the Shach is very troubled by this, and he says that the Ramah is against the Gemara. He says the Ramah is against the Gemara. So how are we miyashev this? In other words, again, maybe you could say that was these things are mutter by pas, but by bishul, it doesn't seem to work. So the Shach asked this question, Shach Sifkat on Ches, and he first says, Venerali de Savarlei, Lehaiser Vahater, which is the source for the Ramah, Rav de Nidabdina de Shas, Aser Bechia Gavna, Mikal Makom, Hagam Chito Vikisem Aser Medina de Shas. So even though Sifav is against Shas, but so is Sif Zion. That's also against Shas. De Haloyim is Basha Blo Siwa Vikochavim. Because the only Jewish contribution is one toothpick. It certainly would not have been cooked without the Siyu HaGoy. V'afilu hachi anu matirin. El hainu itayim edekayim elon. D'chi heyechi d'bahani kisim le'el. Sivin kuf yed beis. And just like we say kisim works for pas, v'bishol ol v'kochavim, v'im kain, ki heyechi d'kisim bepas, lo shan medina d'shas, k'mashkas ol poskim, el et samchinan amashkas ol b'chilufim min hagim, d'bein Eretz Yisrael u'bein b'nei Bavel. D'bahani. Whew. So, is there any source for what we do? Says the Shach, yes. There's a sefer called Chilufei Menhagim Debein B'nei Eretz Yisrael Uvnei Bavel. That's a sefer. I think it was probably written during the Gaonic period. The Ramban quotes it as well over here. But it's, as far as I know, post-Chazal. And this is a sefer that tells you the difference, different nagim between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. And one of the things that it tells us is that that they were lenient to rely on Hashlachas Kisei. And then it says the I think in the Bavel probably v'hanach lan liYisrael shiushogigin v'chulei k'moshkasav harash v'hatur. So, if that's true, so basically, yeah, the Shach saying Inachanami, it's against Shas, but we're relying on the Sefer. And then the Shach continues, you'd have to say that the Ramah is also against Sif Yud, and he just didn't say anything. Why? What does it say in Sif Yud? So just skip ahead to Sif Yud. Hinech Yisrael Gabi Gechalim Omimos. Let's say they're dying out coals. They're still hot, but they're not going to last too much longer. And the Jew puts it down on top of those coals. Shaloi roilis bashalim, not enough to cook. K'macho medrusoi, v'agoi v'hafach bo, v'nis bashalim. So the guy came and ignited those coals, and now cooked, aser. That's the mechaber, the psak of the mechaber, based off the straightforward Gemara. Now, what the Shach saying, well, since we just explained that the Ramah in Vav and Zayin's against the Gemara, so he'd also be against Sif Yud. This is going to be no worse then Hashlachas Kisem, and in Achanami, he would disagree with Sif Yud. He doesn't say anything in Sif Yud, but that's because he's relying on what he said already in Sif Vav, Sif Zayin, and he would be Mekel in that case as well. Now, then the Ramah writes, then the Shach writes a second option. Ve'ev shalomar dekan marishaniach ha'yisrael ha'gachalim, and he tries to make Sif Vav and Sif Zayin in a way that's not against Shas, but he concludes that it doesn't sound that way. And if you look at Taras Chattas, it doesn't sound that way. B'chol Gavni Shari. And therefore, Lemaisa, he thinks that the Ramah is Mekel, like his first pshat, and is against the Gemara. So then he says, but Le'in Yandina Tzarchiyan. Kevin Darshas Yisa Behadia, that it's Aser. How could you go against the Gemara? Eladis or Vehater Varav Mekilon Beza. Umetaima de Medami Lakisim Chitoi. Huh? Because they compare them to the Dinim, the Kulos of Pasakum. But it doesn't tell you how they could do that. How could it be against the Gemara? Shach doesn't seem to be so excited about this. So where in the world is this coming from? How could they be against the Gemara? So it seems to me that the answer is, first I guess we can see what some of the Mefarshim say. If you look at the Ber Hetev and also the first explanation of the Taz, he says we're talking about a case of Bishul Gamor. It wouldn't have happened without the Ovik Ochavim. It would have been Machal Ben Dursai. And in the end, the Taz is very skeptical about this. And he says, you could only be Mekel Bebeis Yisrael. In other words, we're going to throw in Rabbi Avram that we saw yesterday. Remember, Rabbi Avram held that we are Mekel Bebeis Yisrael. The Isser of Bishul Akum is only basically when the guy cooks in their house, in their establishment. But if a guy comes to a Jewish house, we're Mekel. And these coolers that the Ramah has, we saw yesterday that the Ramah may have paskened like Rabbi Avram. And we'll accept the kulas of the Rabbi of the Ramah, though they're very problematic. Bitziruf, Rabbi Avram, who is Matir b'chol inyan b'veis Yisrael. But the Ramah seems to be more lenient than that. He seems to be Matir outright. So how could he be against the Shas? So Bekitzer, I think the answer is as follows: if you look at some of the Rishonim, and this might be the mashmaos you get from the Yerushalmi. The gzeira of Bishul Akum, like Pas Akum, was also lo nispashet. And even though it's not the simple reading of the Gemara, but essentially we have a situation here of minag mevatel halacha. Now, that's not to say that there's no yishuv. We could be miyashev it. We could say that it was lo nispashet. But we have a minag. We have an old minag. The minag is so old, it's cited in this sefer, Chilufei Minhagei Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. So it's an old minag, and it doesn't correspond with the Bavli. But we have a way to understand that it's not against Shas entirely, to say basically that the Isser of Bishul Akum, like Pas Akum, was never fully in force. And therefore, we are somech on this minhag, even though it's taka very shver, and it's against the Pashtus and Shas. But again, we could be miyashivit. It's a there is a way to read the Gemara that allows for this. And since this was the minhag, so we follow minhag. When again, it's an established minhag, and this is an old and established minhag, like the Shach says. It's based off of this is sefer, and it's clearly a minhag for a long time, at least in Ashkenazi countries, as the Rosh and others attest to. And therefore, we follow this minhag, even though it's, you know, the normal method of learning, we would never be able to come to this conclusion. As the Pashtus is, it's against Shas. But minag mevatel halacha, and one can follow this minag, and that is the minag. Among Ashkenazim are very megal. Now, Sfardim, of course, as we've seen, have no such basis for leniency. So, what do Sfardim rely on? So. Sardin, the answer is that they have to actually do something significant, like it says in the Mechaber. The problem is that all the restaurants, I know all, most restaurants rely on Ashkenazi kulos. Many, many restaurants have the mashkiach light, the pilot light, or maybe turn on the oven at the beginning of the day, or something like that, and turn on the stove. But they're not necessarily doing what would be required for Sfardim. So is it okay for Sfardim to eat at restaurants that have Ashkenazi hashkachos? I think a number of years ago, when they started instituting the policy in a CAF, where they basically force you to buy food, so a number of, if you're an undergraduate student, you have to be a part of the meal plan, you have to pay for it. So there were a number of Sephardi Talmidim who said, this is not fair. The food you serve us isn't even kosher for us. And so, you know, till this point, we didn't complain because we didn't have to eat it. But now you're forcing us to buy unkosher food. Because, again, they relied on the Ashkenazi kulos for Bishul Akum. So Rabbi Lam was the president at the time, and he asked Rav Aaron Soloveitchik to answer this question, to write it. He was like the most, you know, I don't know if the official posek of the yeshiva at the time, but he was the senior posek. And so he was matir for Sfaradim to eat in the calf, based off of three tzadim. One is that, again, we have Rabbi Avram. It's a Shifcha B'Veis Yisrael, the yeshiva's Jewish institution. So you have Rabbi Avram. And number two is that it's a very interesting theory, that since it was made beheter, because most people are Ashkenazi, so there's a hacker and there's no problem of chasnas. What does that mean exactly? So he compared it to what we have at the end of this siman, which is also in the Ramah, but it could be that Sfardim would agree to it. It is in the Beis Yosef. That's not quoted by the Mechaber. If you just look at the very end of our siman, it says, Gaisha Bisha B'Shabbos L'chola, Mutter L'motzei Shabbos, Afilo Levari, Ve'en Bo Mishum Bishol Gayim. Let's imagine you have a situation of a chola, so you have to have a guy cook for them on Shabbos. So the problem is, it's Bishol Akum. So it's going to be mutter for the chola. We'll see, Nor Chaim, that a chola can be makel for Bishol Akum. But one would have imagined that it would be usher for a non-chola. So the Ramah says, no, it's mutter. Let's say there's some leftovers. It's mutter for a bari. No problem. Why not? Because there's a hacker who's made beheter, and there's a hacker everybody understands, and that's good enough. So he said, this is made beheter for Ashkenazim, because they're the rove, and memela some. So it's mutter even for the Sfardim. Okay, interesting theory. And then the third tzad he had to be makel is because of Eva. Now, we saw Eva in a different context, in the context of Pasakum, that Erev Eva came up, that even though someone who's normally makbid on Pasakum, Pas Yisrael, to eat with someone together for Pasakum because of Eva. Here we're not, it's not the usual Eva like the Gayim and Pogroms, it's Eva among Jews. Now, one would have imagined that's maybe a special leniency for Pasakum, whereas we've seen there are many leniencies beyond that, like you have no Pas Yisrael Matsui, so you're allowed to be Mekel for Pasakum, even for the Mechaber. But Rav Aaron Soloveitchik thought, no, this is a kula that would apply to all, possibly, all Machalei Akum, so there'd be Eva if the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim are eating together, and the Sfardim say, we can't eat this food, it's not kosher, and that would lead to Eva, and therefore those three tzadim he was Mekel. So, Mekel for them to eat it, so Mimela. Of course, they have to follow them by the meal plan. Because what's this butter? You have no excuse. But I was told a little later that they will make an exception for conscientious observers, Sfardim, who won't eat the cow food, they don't make them pay for it. A little later, after Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's tshuva about that, Rav Adi had a tshuva, it's in Yechav Adas, Chelek Hesem in Nandalet, he's also Mekel. At the beginning of the tshuva, he's Mekel B'Tars Limud Tzchus, but at the end of the tshuva, it sounds like he's Mekel L'maisa. And basically, because of the Sveik-Sveika, Safek Rabbi Avram is right, and then Himsom Rabbi Avram is wrong, maybe the Ashkenazi Kulos are also okay. So therefore, Lamaisa Rav Avadia is makel for a Svardi to eat at Ashkenazi home or Ashkenazi restaurants or the like. Yeah, it's not ideal. Obviously, a Svardi in their own home should be makbid to follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, but Betar Sveik Sveika, they could be makel to eat at hotels, restaurants, and the like. Again, assuming they're Jewish establishments, and you have the Sveik Sveika of Rabbi Avram, plus all the Ashkenazi kulas. So that's that. I do think that in a kaf nowadays they try to, in accommodation to make it mutter according to the Shulchan Aruch also. Though I don't think they're 100% mak, but they do try. So that is the issue of allowing a Jew to cook. Now, here's an interesting question. Many poskim say, though not everybody agrees to it, but many poskim are mako, that you could have a Jew turn on the oven remotely. There's like an oven app that's very helpful nowadays. Let's say a Jew is at work, but he could use his phone to turn on his oven from work, then that's okay. In Kashrus, they've used this for a longer time, longer period of time. They've set up situations where the Mashgiach, only the Mashgiach could turn on the oven. He would do it like remotely by dialing into the number. And many Kashrus organizations are makel on that. There are those that are machmir, though I didn't really understand their objections. So it could be that nowadays that everything is becoming smart, there's going to be a way to much more easily solve the problems of Bishul Akum. Now, another interesting question that comes up more in commercial kashrus is, what about if we do the following? Let's say a Jew turns on a light in the oven or a glow stick or the like. Now, what's the logic? Because a light, let's say an incandescent bulb, so it adds heat, right? It adds, now it's not a large, a lot amount of heat. Let's imagine it's 0.1% of the heat in this oven is coming from this light bulb. Okay, but is that any different than throwing in a toothpick? And therefore, there are some kosher organizations that are makel on this. However, this is highly questionable on a number of levels. Number one is, you could actually say they're doing nothing, they're not actually increasing anything, because the ovens work on a thermostat. In other words, it would be the same temperature regardless. So, moreover, when the Jew lights this light, there's no other fire on, so it's actually doing absolutely nothing, right? It's not like his kisem works when there's already a fire, and now the Jew throws in a kisem, and he's now adding a little bit to the kisem. But here, his contribution takes place before the oven is on, and it's not enough to actually cook anything. And that being the case, so this would not be equivalent to Hashlachas kisem, and would be aser. That's the position of the OU. And therefore, they don't like this. Though, as I said, there are some kashrus organizations that are okay with this. Now, we saw the Ramah quote Yesh Omrim that Eish Me Eish works. The Taz Sifkat and Vav asks on this that the Gemara says Lo Hafach Haakom Lo Hayabashil Amay Mutter. So we see that we need that Achrei the Ma'isi Yisrael it's right to be Mizbashel with. Without a additional Tosefes of the Nachri. So how could that work? So the Taz says, the Gemara must have been Choser. The Shach says, what are you talking about? What indication do you have that the Gemara was Choser from that? And this brings us back to the theory that anyway the Ramah is against the Gemara. But do we accept pilot lights? So again, the Taz is only makel on pilot lights, Betirus Rabbi Avram, and others disagree. The Aruch HaShulchan, though, writes you shouldn't rely on pilot lights unless it's a Shas HaDchak. Others are Mekel, at least if Bebeis Yehudi, Betziruf Rebbe Avram. So that is very common that that they do rely on the pilot light kula, in at least, again, commercial establishments. Other than in Washington Heights, people don't really have pilot lights in their homes anymore, so it doesn't help as much. Okay. Now let's turn to Sif Ches. Again, we did Vav Zayin and Yud. Let's go back to Ches. Nasan Yisrael Kader al Gabi Ha'esh V'silka Uvagai V'chzira Aser Elim Kain Higil Amachol Ben Drusai Shushlish Bishulo. So if the Yisrael put it on and the guy took it off and put it back, then it would be aser if it didn't reach machal ben drusai. Otherwise, it would be mutter. Siftes, in bishul guy kamachal ben drusai, v'gam Yisrael, yesh lasor, elim kein huerav Shabbos or avyantif. What about the reverse case? Let's imagine the guy put it on, and now it's reached machal ben drusai. Let's say it's 75% cooked. Machal ben drusai l'kulei alma. And then the guy says, oh my gosh, the guy put the food on the fire. Bishalakum! And quickly the Jew runs, saves the day, he picks up the pot, he puts it back down. But it's already 75% done. What's the halacha? So the Mechaber writes that this is a debate, but we're machmir except b'shas hadchak. So Erev Shabbos, Erev Yantif, Hefsid Merupa, then you could be mekel. Otherwise we're machmir. Haga, v'yesh matirin v'chol inin v'chaynoga. But the Ashkenazim are mekel. Another Ashkenazi kula. Now this is already a machlokas rishonim. This isn't such a shvacha mashkenazi kula because it's not mefurish against the Gemara. Now it's interesting because in Siman Kuf Yud Beis this was discussed as well in Pasak, and there the Mechaber seemed to be mekel. The Pashtus is that he was more willing to follow the lenient view in Pas than Bishul, and therefore Bishul is only mekel b'shas adchak, Pas is mekel b'revach, though the Pri Chadash and the like try to be miyashev it in a different way. Regardless, as we said, Ashkenazim are mekel, so as long as it's, even if it's after Machal Ben Drusai, you could still save it. But what about after Machal Ben Drusai? What would the halacha be? So I was once asked the following shaila. We were davening mincha, I think soon we're holding by Yedid Nefesh at Shankshul, and somebody runs up to me and they say, I think I forgot to plug in my crockpot. So by the time it was already Bein HaShmashos, or certainly would have been Bein HaShmashos past Shia by the time they got home. So the first thing I asked him was, do you have a blech on your crockpot? Is it garfecht katam? In other words, is the whole heating element covered, and let's say also the knobs? He said, yeah. In other words, that would be, it's a good idea to do it anyway, but let's say somebody wanted to do a chazar, you have to have garfecht katam on your crockpot. So he said, yeah. So that's very important, because otherwise, even if we had a guy turn it on, he couldn't turn it on. Now it's Bein HaShmashos, so you could have a guy turn it on. Melacha, Amir L'Nachri, Bein HaShmashos, especially for something like this. This is the main course of their Suda, you could be mekel on. But it would be a problem of Shehiyah if they didn't have a blech. You have a blech, so it is a machlokas rishonim kayadua, whether garfakatam works, pachos mi machal ben drusai, but Pashtus were mekel. Again, there's a Rashba, Ricky Vega quotes the Rashba, but Pashtus is where mekel, and certainly in a case like this, Shas Adchak, you could be mekel. So, okay, so Shehiyah would be okay. So, what's the problem, though? The problem is it would be Bishalakim, right? If he tells the guy to plug in his crackpot, it would be Bishalakim. So, I thought like this. I thought, why don't we say it like this? He'll have the guy turn it on. Okay, it's going to be Mavushal Kol Tzarko by the morning. Now, Shalom to Stilmet Stamik V'yafilo, right? Let's say by 8 a.m. it's Mavushal Kol Tzarko Mitzdamik V'yafilo, right? From 8 to 12. So the Jew will just go ahead and pick it up and put it back down. And then, will that save it? Will that make it Bishul Yisrael? God, for Sfardim, there's nothing. Sfardim are Mekel, Litzorech Shabbos, so maybe even Sfardim would be Mekel in here. So does that work? Or do we say no? To save the food, could save the food up till Mevushal Kol Tzarko. From Machal Ben Drusai to Mevushal Kol Tzarko, that's when you could save it. But you can't save it once it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko. And this, the Jew can't go ahead and put it back, pick it up and put it back before Machal Ben Drusai, because then it would be a Bishul B'Shabbos Shaila. What?
Before it's fully cooked.
After Machal Ben Drusai, before. So the question is this a good kula? So if you look back at Simen Kuf Yud Beis, this is mentioned in Simen Kuf Yud Beis. There it sounded like, as long as it continues to be improved from, it continuously is being improved, in other words, the equivalent of Mitznamik V'yafilo, then it would be Mutter. That's the impression that you get from Simen.
Maybe that's only by pass.
But maybe that's only by pass. That's correct. So the question is, could you apply that? So it's not clear. The post can discuss this. Generally speaking, we would be makel b'shas avchak. But this is shas avchak. Plus, we could throw in another very important sniff. I don't know. I'm far from certain that chalat is nachal al shulchan malachim. Right? So first of all, you have Rabbi Avram to be somlichan, which again, maybe the Ramah follows Rabbi Avram, Shachus unsure. Second of all, I'm very skeptical whether it's Nechal Shulchan Malachim. Now again, it's a little tricky, you know. They've never served chalent in the White House. But yeah, they serve meat stew. And this is like a type of meat stew. Maybe if the White House was, yeah, I mean, if they were making they serve latkes at the Hanukkah dinner. So if they decided to, at the White House, if they made a Jewish thing, I don't know, maybe they would serve challah. I'm not sure. But I'm not sure. But I think it's very likely it's Eino Nachal Shulchan Malachim, plus the fact that, again, according to many poskim, as long as it's stomach viafilo, then you could still save it. So those three tzirufim, I thought maybe they were grounds for leniency. The guy came back in the middle of Kabbal Shams and he said, oh, no, it was plugged in. I didn't work that okay. But I think you could make the case that, I don't think it's ideal, but in this case, it would be mutter to eat the chalent because of those three tzirufim. Okay. Sif Yudal, if you have an interesting halacha, in other words, it's a suffix, haga, the suffix, the frame lakal. So you don't know. Maybe this is Bishal Yisrael, maybe this is Bishal Akum. You're not sure. So we could be makel suffix drabanan lehakel. Now, what's pretty straightforward, and it's very important, right? You have various sfeikos that come up in Bishul Akum, you don't know if who put this fire on or this or that. You don't remember, did the Mashkiach turn on the fire or not? Safek Rabbanan Lahakel. What's interesting is if you look at the Torah in a couple of places, the Torah seems to be Machmir B'Makom Safek. Earlier in the Torah, for example, he says, Lefikach Yada Shahaya Basar B'Taner Afilu Chimim Oliyavish Kli Asar Chashinan Shama Kivein Gam Levishal Kevan Shiyadabo. We have a suffix whether the guy was Machan Labishal or not. We know if it's not Machan Labishal, it's Mutter. Where Mesupik, the Tur says, we're Machmir. Yet here, the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin Lahakel. So what's the difference? Why is it sometimes the Tur is Makel, sometimes the Tur is Machmir? So if you look at the Taz, Sif Katan Hey, he answers, Tzarch lidchok ulechalik deshanigabi siluk dehu eno davar matzui kol kach lasoso kimokan shematzui hu lechavin gam lebishul. In other words, even though we have safek drabban lahakel, a principle, but if it's more likely to be aser than mutter, then we're machmir, at least then the Torah is machmir. The Torah holds that sometimes sveikos, you know, it is a safek, we don't know, but, you know, it's matzui to be, the tzad lahachmir is more matzui, so then you have to be machmir. Now, what's interesting is, if you look at the Ramah on that halacha in the Tur, he objects. And he says, what in the world? Why is the Ramah, this is the Darkei Moshe, Sifkat and Hay, commenting on the Mechaber in the Tur, Ma'od him chmir bedavar zeh lachos l'sveika de Rabbanan. What is he worried about? Now, it could be that he thinks that it's not matzoi, and that's why he's arguing. Or it could be that even if it is matzoi, but it's lo yatza midei safek, and therefore he's saying, if it's lo yatza midei safek, then you could still apply the principle of safek derabanan lahakel. So there's a broader issue that we're not going to get into so much now. It's also an interesting question. If we know that it was put on by a guy, but we don't know if the Jew saved it, would you say cheskes iser? No, there's no cheskes iser because iser is in chal until it's cooked, right? That's the pashtas. In which case, then you could be machalik between before machal ben usai and after machal ben usai. Maybe after machal ben usai, it's a yes and hatzala. So this is a very interesting question. Fundamentally, the halachas were mutter, were meikel b'makom safek, and a question that might be the subject of the Raman Mechaber, but it might not be, is when you have a case that it's matzui to be machmir, could you still apply the principle of safek derabanan lahakel? Okay, so if you had base, we turn to the question of nachal kamo shulchai. So that's the other big hula over here that we mentioned yesterday. The question that we have to think about is, what's the reason for nachal kamo shulchai? Why is it that that is a heter for bishulakum? So there's two reasons given in Rishonim. If you look at the Ran on the Rif, he says basically that there's not so much kir of das because you're not nana kol kach, and therefore we're not choshish for chasnas. V'chol shenachal kamo shulchai, ein kir of hadas bebishulo. The second answer that is implied by Rashi be'tezayin amud aleph is a more lamdish of art, that it doesn't have a chalos bishul in the sense that, since bishul means bringing a food from inedibility to edibility, and this was always edible, there might be the view that we know that it's a discussion in Hilchos Shabbos. Well, as we're going to get back to that next year, whether you say the same thing for Shabbos. Is there a chiyuv d'oraisa for bishul for davar shenachal kamo shehu chai? So Rashi over there says, "Dekeven d'nachal kamo shehu chai, enu bishul d'lo ahani midi." It's not bishul. Lo ahani midi. It was already edible. Lo ahani midi didn't do anything. Obviously, it did something, right? You prefer it to be cooked. That's why you're bothering to cook it. But there hasn't been a significant tikkun, and therefore it's not, doesn't constitute bishul. If we go by the first explanation, so it's very, the heter of nechal kamo shulchai is very similar to the heter that we said yesterday of eno alo shulcha malachim, meaning to say, of course, it's bishul, it's just that there's not so much kiruv das, it's not going to be the type of thing that's going to lead, it's not the type of bishul that's going to lead to chasnas. Whereas if you hold to the second pshat, so then this is fundamentally a different kula. The first kula is just that it's not going to lead to chasnas. The second kula is that it's not, doesn't have a shame bishul. Now, again, you could try to say even the second pshat's like the first pshat, that since it's not so much bishul, so therefore, you know, the only type of bishul that's going to lead to chasnas is a significant contribution. But if the contribution isn't particularly significant, so then it's not going to lead to, so, you know, it's not clear. But the parsha pshat is we have two different theories as to why this would be right. Now, a big question that comes up over here is, what about if it's nachal al yidei hadchak? This is a discussion in the Gemara and a discussion in the Rishonim. We don't have time now to get into the details, but halach l'maisa, we are machmir on nishayla. If it's nachal kamo shulchai, but rak al yidei hadchak, so then it's aser. So for example, if you look at Sif Yud Beis, it says, Dagum tam shemalchon Yisrael, o gai, harei hein kamo shesbashlu, Miktsas bishul, v'mtsalan gayachar kach mutarin. Apparently, when it comes to dagim tanim, if they're salted, then they're edible. So if a guy first salted them and then cooked them, it's going to be mutter. Why? Because at the time that they cooked them, they were nachal kamo shulchai. But if he takes raw fish and cooked them, then it's usser. Right? Now, one thing you see from here, an interesting para, which is we don't say that the fact that you could eat it salted is not considered cooking. And therefore, if the guy salts it, it's not bishul akum, because bishul akum is only if the guy cooks it. But the fact that it's edible, al yidei malicha, doesn't make it nachal kamo shulchai. And therefore, if the guy cooked it straight, without salting it first, then it would be aser. But salty fish that are from big fish, so that's only nachal de'at chak, lefikach and tzalangai, asurin, it's asur v'yesh matirin. So the stama is lahachmir, the mechaber brings a yesh makilin, but it sounds like he paskins lahachmir. Hagav v'chein chol davar shenachal yidei atchak uvish logai dino kedam gedolim uvaser meliach enu nachal klal shehu chai be'aser im nisbash degai. So we're machmir on the shaila. The fact that it's nachal yidei atchak makes it aser. Would still mean it's not considered nachal kamo shehu chai, and therefore it would be aser. It's actually very interesting that the Rama over here writes that Basar Meliach is considered Eno Nachal Klal, and therefore it's Aser, meaning to say, even for the Mekilin, Basar Chai would be Aser. Now, why is it so interesting? For the Chevra who's about to learn Hilchos Muksa, so they would know that in Simen Shin Ches, if Yud Lamet Aleph, it says Basar Chai isn't Muksa because it's Chazil Umsa. So. Okay.
Here
he's saying even salted meat is
only salted meat,
and kavachomer ain't no salted meat. Both ways, it's considered, the salt doesn't make it worse; it makes it better.
Why can't you say that you can swallow raw meat and not salted meat?
I don't think that's true.
It's too
in Hilchos Muksa, there's no chiluk. Hilchos Muksa, basar chai is mutter whether salted or unsalted. According to now, whether that applies nowadays is an interesting question. But at least Medina de Shulchan Aruch, if you have, you open up your freezer on Shabbos and you tried to get the ice cream and now a roast falls on the floor. That's a big problem. It's a $40 roast. What do I do? So you have to wait till the summer. We'll talk about it if there are any kulas. But it sounds like, according to the Medina de Shulchan Aruch, it would be mutter, right? Question is, now would anyone here ever eat raw meat? No, nobody had beef tartare?
You did. Meat.
You had salted meat. No, you're not. You're talking about when it's like beef jerky, right? Yeah. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what we're talking here. When the Rama says that it's not nechal klal, he doesn't mean beef jerky. He doesn't like that's nimlach liibud like we had earlier, right? It's even kof hey. We're talking about nitzle that melicha that's done for cooking and it's washed off and the like, right? Right, like your the meat from your freezer. It's salted. It was salted, but. So we'll talk about in the summer whether, right, nowadays there are some people that eat raw meat. I was told that in La Marais, it's on the, they have beef tartare on the menu, which is raw meat. But it's a pretty rare. But the question is, let's talk about the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Shulchan Aruch is makil by Muksa and Machmir here, right? Or the Rama, right? So the question is, why in the world would that be? If it's going to... So, I think the answer is like this. That for Muksa, the fact that, you could eat it is good enough. But for Bishul Akum, it's not just that it's Nechal Al Yedei Hadchak. If you asked anybody about eating raw meat, they would say gross, right? They would say that's disgusting. So even the mekilim for nachal d'atchak, that's different when it's like gross. Whereas for Shabbos, we say there's no haktzah because there are some people. It says misha daito yafe is swallows meat that's uncooked. So like daito yafe are people that like are. Or they like don't mind gross things. On Monday, I hope we're going to get to the halachos, and maybe Tuesday about the shaktu. So we'll talk about that a little later.
Daito yafe.
Daito yafe, yeah.
Maybe daito greedy.
That's I think it's a euphemism.
So you know.
Yeah, I think so. So that's what I think. Anyway, when it comes to, so I saw that some poskim were machmir about that for sushi. The tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak. Minchas Yitzchak says sushi, raw fish, is considered eino nachal chai. Why? Because it's not just that people don't eat it, but they think it's gross. Now that tshuva was written 30, 40 years ago. Nowadays, everybody eats sushi. So I think nowadays, at least, certainly salmon grade tuna, sushi grade tuna, sushi grade salmon would for sure be nachal kamo shehu chai. The question is, what about if you have fish that you wouldn't eat raw, prepare. You want, for when you're using fish for sushi that you're not planning to cook, you have to have very fresh. Otherwise, you're more likely to get food poisoning. So would that be enough? Now, chora not, but the Rama says something, the Shach says something interesting, which sounds like maybe even if the min is eaten raw, that's enough. Where do you see that in the Rama? In the Shach, look at Shach Yates. He writes, Mihu, hani agas in the tapuchim akashim. So we actually mentioned this yesterday also. These types of apples and pears that are kashim. Afal pisha rovachi lasan alidei tzli uveshol. So it's not like apples. Most apples probably be raw, but these type of apples are mostly cooked. Im tzalan uveshol avakochavim utarim. Why? Mikol makom necholin gam kein chayin. So first of all, we see that you don't need rov achila to be chai. As long as they're sometimes eaten raw, that's good enough. That's why I thought, maybe like I said yesterday, zucchini. Right? Zucchini, 90% of achila zucchini is cooked. But you see, at vegetable platters and the like, it's not at all uncommon to see raw zucchini, right? That you have in a dip. So the fact that it's sometimes nachal chai, even a rov achila is definitely cooked, that might be okay. That's the first tetra of the shach. Va'od shirov shebimino ikar achilas amchai. That's an even more far-reaching kula. Most apples are eaten chai, even though most of this type of apple is eaten cooked. Now, as we look at the min, which might help you, even if you could argue that even if this is sushi, this is salmon that you wouldn't eat as sushi, but rove salmon can be eaten as sushi, and yesterday this might have been sushi grade, so that might even be enough. Now, so what do we need basically? What are we saying? We're saying that we need this doesn't have, you don't need the typical eating to be chai, right? You just need an occasional eating to be chai. And also that it not be looked at as disgusting or gross. So how far do you take this? So I saw a couple of tshuvos. Rabbi Belsky is very makel on this. Rabbi Belsky has a tshuva that he thinks that you can, that cranberries are considered nachal chai, because he dug up and found like two recipes, in Cape Cod Cranberry Growers Association cookbook that Ephes have raw cranberries. So Reshachter wasn't so into that, he said. It's a miyuta de miyuta. He would have agreed if it's a miyut, like the Shach says, but not a miyuta de miyuta. He was making on cranberries for a different reason, because they're nachal chai, because you can make them into craisins. And even though, see, the problem with cranberries, they would be good raw, they're just super sour. You need to figure a way to sweeten them. So the process of craisinating is enough. Now, you'll say, but maybe that's like malicha, and that's not enough. So he tried to argue it was. Anyway, yes?
The Shach's question about the apples is when you have one species that's sour, right? That's not about the fish. Any fish is fresh when you catch them.
Yeah, that's what I think. Kavachomer.
Yeah.
Kavachomer. Exactly. Okay. I know that... yeah, I think we'll have to be finished because I said we would start the next simon. So we're done. Okay, so that's for simon kuf yud gimel. Now, at least introduce kuf yud dalet. So the first thing we're going to talk about in kuf yud dalet is not mentioned in kuf yud dalet, but you actually saw it already in kuf yud beis in the tour. If you noticed back in the tour, in Simon Kuf Yud Beis, when he was listing all the things that are aser, he mentioned Mesibos Shalgayim. Can't go to Mesibos Shalgayim. Now, the problem is that, as the Beis Yosef says, where in the world did the Torah come up with this iser? Right? Look at the Beis Yosef over there. Right. Forgot my base Yosef. Here we are. Mashakasa, the Astru Lishtos Bimisibasan, Afilu Shar Mashkin, Ken Kasav Harambam, Vizal, O Yishta Adam Bimisiba Shalgayim. ואף על פי שהוא יין נסר, או שהישוס מקלב לבדו. ואף שר שהוא ברייסה אותו סבתא. So the Rambam and the Torah mention this iser of drinking in Mesibo Shogayim. Now, these are drinks that wouldn't be usher because of, let's say, wine. Let's say it's Yai Nefoshal, otherwise you don't need it. And the basis says, I have no idea where the Rambam came up with this iser. Huh. Maybe there's a Bryce or Tosefta somewhere. But at least as far as the Beis Yosef knew, it did not appear in Shas. So where did the Rambam come up with this din, this iser of Mesibas Goy? Now I'll read you what the Rambam writes. Ketzad lo yishta adam mesiba shel akum v'af al pishu yayin mevushel sheinu nasar o sheyishosim mekelev levado. But if rov ha-mesiba is Yisrael, then it's mutter. So one possible source that you might have said for this Rambam is a din that came up with it, is a din in the Gemara. Obviously, the Beis Yosef didn't think this was the Makor. But it's a Gemara daf Ches Amud Aleph that basically prohibits Jews from going to non-Jewish weddings. The Gemara says like this, Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, Yisraelim Shebechutz La'aretz Ovdei Avoda Zara B'Taharahim. Meaning to say they don't have Kavana. Ketzad, a guy is Osa Mishtel of No, Vizimen Esa Yehudim. He invites all the Jews to come to the Chasana. And the Jewish people, you know, don't drink the Gaish wine. They bring their own wine, and they bring their own kalim, and they bring their own shamish. Still, mala kasav aleim kilu achlu mezivchei mesim shenema veikra lacha v'chalta mezivcho. So there's a machlokas whether this is an iser daraisa or an iser derabanan. The Ritva says it's daraisa. The pasuk quotes the Gemara quotes a pasuk v'kar lacha v'chalta mezivcho. However, the Pashtus is probably that it's an asmachta. The Nekudas HaKasef writes explicitly the Shach that it's an asmachta. Now, what's the Pshat? So, the Rambam writes that it's a harchaka from Avodah Zarah. The Meiri writes, Kol Se'uda Shehinase Ismach Masachopa Hu Makrev Bal Avodah Zarah V'af Kesheinu Makrev Mikol Makom Azul Umodeh So there's some type of quasi-religious association, religious ceremony at the wedding. Others say no. There's just an iser of iskarvos, bachila, vishtia, and parties like weddings are especially problematic. Now this halacha is discussed in Simon Kufnun Beis in your day, so we're not really going to discuss it. But the Taz writes over there, Sifkat Nalas, Meforsh Bepasuk, Shalamduhu Mikra, the Karlacha Vachatam Zivcho, Meforsh Berosh Oso Perek, Misham Harchakos in the same. The Hech Natir Misham Eva, the Lomatinu Hatir Misham Eva, Elehechesha Mitzvah Misham Davar Acher. Now that we do find, let's say, in Chukos Akom, certain kulas for Eva. Somebody is going to, you know, serve in the palace of the king as a courtier or something like that. There are certain leniencies that we have for Eva. But the Taz says there's no exceptions to this. This is Aser. So the question is this limited to weddings or not? So if you look at the Bavli, it sounds like it's Dafka for weddings. And that's what the Poskim say. The Levush says, no, Chasanas are an example of this. But other types of parties are okay, are aser also, except then we'll say Darkei Shalom is mutter. Now another very important question is, okay, well let's say you're not going to drink wine, what about eating? So the Rambam writes, aser lehanos misu dasan. So therefore we paskin, at the very least, that when it comes to weddings, you shouldn't be nene. If you find that you have to go to a non-Jewish wedding, sometimes people have to do that, their business partner's daughter is getting married, but you shouldn't eat or you shouldn't drink. That's the way we paskin. However, this din, as I said, is paskin and simen kuf nun beis. And the pashta says it's limited to weddings. And, though again, some are machmir. But the Beis Yosef didn't think that this was the makor for this Rambam, right? So the Rambam must have some other makor. Beis Yosef didn't know what it was, that you can't drink at the mesibos of a guy. So the question is, what is the basis of that? So we haven't still answered that. We're going to talk about that on Monday. But once we're going, we're on the topic of going to chasanas, so the Rush was asked the following question. If the Issa relates to Avodah Zarah, what about if they're monotheists? The Yishmael, the Rush writes, V'yishmael she'asa mishtal, no, v'shalach l'Yisrael pas palter, so mepashtei dekra, u'mepashtei d'alacha mashma she'enu aser, el dakar l'cha d'achadam z'vcho, shu karu l'cho, v'yishmael. So with respect to this halacha, there is a machlokas haposkin, whether it applies to Muslims. The Taz says it's because of chasnos, and therefore it does apply to Muslims. Others, like the Meiri, sound like it's because of Avodah Zarah, in which case it should be mutter for Muslims. Rav Avadia writes that if it's a Christian, then you're allowed to go, but you can't eat at all. And if it's a Muslim wedding, maybe there's a little bit more room for leniency. Yes?
Didn't we have that by Pasuk?
Yeah, we paskin that we're machmer for Muslims when it comes to Isurim of Chasnas.
And then what about
the Meiri says that this...
The same
we haven't talked yet about Sheikh Rakum. We didn't mention one thing about Sheikh Rakum. We just mentioned two things. One is the Isur of Mesibos Gayim, which we don't know what it's for. And two is the Isur of Weddings, which we do know what it's for. So we still have two issues that we're going to come back to on Monday. Number one is Mesibos Gayim. Number two is... Sheikh Rabbi. So what to do for Monday? So Monday...